Is National Gateway a CSX project, or is it a project of several rail lines in the Northeast?
We are the only rail line that's involved, but it's and we are certainly leading a leading sponsor of it, but it's really aimed to be a public-private partnership that brings not just the railroad, but brings customers into it and other private interests, and also brings in state governments and the federal government, we hope. One of the things that we talk about with this is they did some analysis and determined that there would be something in the neighborhood of $8 of benefit for every $8 of public benefit for every dollar, every public dollar that's invested in the project. You've probably seen most of the material that I think you've had material sent to you.
Yes.
We're looking at a project that in total scope is about $700 million. CSX has already said it's prepared to invest about $300 million and then work with various other state and state governments and the federal government to fund the remaining $400 million. And the way it breaks out is the $300 million we will apply to build these intermodal terminals, which is, I need to just digress here for a second. If I throw out a term and you're not sure exactly what it is, I'll be happy to try and define it.
Okay.
If you're familiar with intermodal, that's intermodal transportation in terms of rail, it's where you would have either a marine container or a truck trailer that gets lifted off its chassis and put onto a specially designed rail car to handle it. The old traditional intermodal was simply one trailer on a car, or maybe two trailers, but that was it. And they were just single stack, one high, and off they went. And of course, there was still tremendous efficiency there versus moving each of them by a truck over the highway. But years ago, and gosh, I guess this dates back quite a while, there was a lot of study put in, and they found a way to actually stack them too high, so that or double stack, if you will. And of course, that combined with some changes in equipment really created something of a revolution, if you will, and enabled the industry to gain a great deal in terms of efficiency and economy, and make a much greater contribution.
I noticed in your literature that you're talking about some of the infrastructure that the trains have to pass beneath. Now, are you limited in some areas only to one container high? And as part of your program, you're going to have to go in and increase the height of, say, overpasses, that sort of thing, to allow double stacking?
Max, you've just described the program. We're going to invest in the terminals, and we're looking for the combination of funding to do these clearances that we've identified. I believe the number is 79 or 80 different places on the routes where you would have to do something to increase the vertical clearance. Now, that may be as simple as having a tunnel or a certain type of bridge that you can just notch, if you will, at the ends of them so that you can get through, because that might be the only impediment. You might have a bridge that needs to be raised. You might have, in some cases, there are places where you can achieve the clearance by actually undercutting or just lowering the profile of the railroad, lowering the track bed. And all of that, of course, depends on, each one has to be looked at individually, but they identified, I believe it's 79 of them, and said if we can get all of them done, then you can have this double stack service from, between the Midwest and the Middle Atlantic ports and the Mid Atlantic states. And you know, one of the things that we have seen, I think everybody who follows transportation trends has seen an increase in the use of the ports on the Atlantic, and expect that to grow. There's some work being done on the Panama Canal, and when that is completed, I think there's a real expectation that there's going to be a lot more container ships coming to the East Coast. And what we're trying to do is be in a position to work with those ports and make sure that the various states and everybody can get the benefit of it by moving them inland, moving the materials inland as quickly as possible. In developing the terminals, what we're looking for, and I think one in particular we're looking at in Wood County, Ohio, I think people have referred to it as North Baltimore, Ohio as well, is finding a place that is, for lack of a better term, I'll use the term greenfield site, just an open site where you can really go in. You know, you might have to acquire some properties or whatever, but basically you can go in and create a nice large facility that you can do your work on. But there's also adjacent land that various distribution centers can be built up on. We're finding that as these terminals come in, that distribution sites do pop up around them. There's a terminal that we've just completed in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, and there were already distribution centers there. We expect more to be coming in. So you try to site these things in places where you've got really good rail access, or should I say very good rail access, and you're in proximity of major highways. So I believe that in Wood County, if I've got this right, I believe it's very close to Interstate 75 north-south. And of course, you follow that either direction and you're going to connect to Interstate 80-90, which I suspect you're very familiar with.
Yes.
And for better or worse, and going south, I believe it's 64 that you would connect with. So you very quickly, you know, gain a lot more in terms of access to markets. Yeah, this is more a case of, because the terminals really are fairly efficient, but it's more a case of saying there's going to be a lot more traffic, and you're going to need more facilities, and preferably one large facility or a couple of larger facilities to handle it. So the goal here is, because there are other intermodal terminals around our system that do operate well, but this gives you the opportunity to build something to the size and scope that you think is going to meet your need for a good long time.
Okay.
And yes, you can certainly build in some efficiencies because you're building something brand new, as opposed to going and retrofitting something. But we've done that in cases too. In this particular instance, you've got the new terminal in Chambersburg, you've got the terminal that we're building in Wood County, you've got a terminal that we're going to build in South Columbus, Ohio, in the vicinity of our Parsons Yard. And we've got another one that we're going to be looking to site somewhere in the Pittsburgh area, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So that gives you an idea of the market we're trying to look at here.
Okay. You make a strong point on environmentalism, but I want to digress. May I digress just a moment?
Absolutely.
For those who may not know, let's talk about CSX Rail itself and the history. Wasn't the Baltimore and Ohio, or the B&O Railroad, actually the genesis of CSX?
It is one of them. And unfortunately, Max, I don't have all of the history. I'm one of those guys who came to CSX from Conrail, so I can tell you the Conrail history well. But basically,
oh, okay.
It is the B&O and the C&O came together, as I understand it, to form the Chessie system.
Right.
And at some point along the way, the Atlantic coastline and the seaboard coastline came together to form the seaboard system. And then in, I guess it was 1980 or 81, those two railroads merged to form CSX.
Right. Okay.
And this line, you're absolutely right. This line, in a lot of ways, follows the B&O route.
Okay. Very good. Now you say that more freight can be moved at less cost to the environment and in fuel savings than by truck. Give me some examples of that. As a matter of fact, you have a handy carbon calculator on your site too, and tell us about
that. Yes, well, that's one of the things that we have done is provide the carbon calculator that customers can use, and they will find in that a way for them to figure out exactly what they're saving. A couple of different ways of characterizing it, but one is, and stop me if I'm repeating myself, a train can carry a one ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel.
Hmm.
Another way of describing it is that in general, and this obviously is going to vary from train to train and based on commodities, but in general, we say that a single train it represents roughly the equivalent of 280 trucks.
Have you heard from the trucking industry?
Well, what's interesting, Max, is that we already do a lot of business with the trucking industry. There are people who think that all we do is compete, and there are places where we are absolutely competing with them, but there are trucking companies that do a lot of long-haul work who have determined that it's in their best interest to focus a lot more of their effort on the pickup and delivery, you know, either local or kind of regional, and then give it to the railroad to move the long haul from, you know, they take it from A to B at one end, we take it the long haul from B to C, and then they move it to point D, wherever that is nearby. So we have a lot of trucking companies that are part of it, and you know, I don't necessarily want to get into naming them, but if you go out and you look at a train going by, an intermodal train, you'll see the trailers.
Right.
It's very clear who they are. And this benefits them, obviously. They're not spending the money on fuel. And the other thing that, of course, they're finding is you still deal with the driver shortage issue. And this gives them the ability to hire somebody and say, look, you know, you work for us, and you know, basically you're going to come to work in the morning and you're going to go home to the same place at night. You know, you're not going to be driving from
right.
here to who knows where and then on to who knows where else. So that is sort of a, you know, it helps them in terms of their driver rosters. It also helps in terms of the quality of life of the drivers.
You talk a lot on your site about the efficiency of your locomotives, how it's increased. I've spent a lot of money increasing the efficiency of your locomotives, fuel efficiency and efficiency in carbon dioxide emissions and so on and so forth. Have you any plans or have you looked into integrating biodiesel into your system?
I'm not aware of that being done yet. No.
Do you think there's a need for it?
Well, one of the things that we're doing right now is in a slightly different way. We're actually working starting to develop on its local in its yards and things something called the Genset locomotive. And those locomotives basically work off of a series of what are in effect, interestingly, truck diesels, and they can basically they can vary the amount of power that's being applied and the amount of the number of engines that are being used according to whatever the demand is. So if it isn't needed, it's completely shut down. So there's a lot of that going on. I think that I know that there has, I believe there may have been some work that's been done on biodiesel, but I'm not aware of it specifically for us now.
Okay. Where is CSX at this moment in development of the National Gateway? Has any other funding come your way, or are you just really launching the program now?
Matt, we're really launching the program now. The state of Ohio is supporting it. They've not come out and committed specific funding yet. We're still in the early stages of that. But we've talked to each of the states, and each of those states is very interested in it and very encouraged by it. But those conversations are still going on. It's something we're still in the process of rolling out. But I will tell you that we're going to be, the plan is to be building that terminal in Wood County by the end of this year. And the hope is that the entire project will be done by about 2015.
Any other railroads showing an interest in your program?
I'm not aware of any specifically showing interest in our program. I think you may have some short lines and regionals that will probably end up showing some interest simply because it provides, it has an opportunity to provide traffic for them as well. But the other class ones, no.
Bob, we're out of time, and I'd really like to talk more railroad with you. I'm an old railroad brat. My father spent 50 years on the Burlington Railroad, which is now the...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Burlington Northern Santa Fe. So
yes.
I love railroads, and I've ridden the steam engines and in the way cars, so I have a great love for it.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Matt, great talking to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your time, Bob.
That was Robert Sullivan, spokesman for CSX Railroad, talking about their ambitious National Gateway project. My name is Max, and I want to thank you again for letting us spend a few moments with you. Live life to its fullest, my friends, but be nice to yourselves while you're at it, and always think green.